That was too high. We found that one of the channels was muted, and so we had the thing turned up all the way to the top. And then we found out it was muted. That's why it wasn't working. We tried everything. So now we have to readjust the whole thing because we're all off adjustment there. All right, so in your notes there, we're going to look at the letter I in the word Baptist, and it stands for individual soul liberty. And we'll just kind of go through the notes here, and we'll get to Scripture in just a moment. What we mean by individual soul liberty is that every individual, believer as well as the unbeliever, has the privilege and responsibility to choose what they deem right in matters of faith and service to God. So your two blanks in that is privilege and responsibility. All right? That's, so in my opinion, that's what this word liberty involves, a privilege and responsibility. We'll cover that in just a minute. Now, this means that Christianity cannot be forced upon an individual. You can't force somebody to get saved, right? There are a lot of religions in the world that you force their belief system on their people. And that's not what we're about. That's what the Bible teaches. And really, it can't be forced by definition, if you will. By the very nature of faith is a choice of the will, is it not? And so just logically, if you look at this, you can come to that conclusion. It is the responsibility of the church to preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Also to be the pillar and ground of the truth. So the church is set here and been established that it should be the pillar and ground of the truth. But it is the privilege and responsibility of each individual as to what they will do with that truth. Amen? And in fact, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter on faith, if you will. We call it the Hall of Faith, mentioning many saints down through the ages who have had faith in God in one area of their life or another, and God used that, and it pleased him. But verse number 6 is a very familiar verse. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." You cannot please God if you don't have faith. It's impossible. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And so we have in this verse, very inherent, we see this individual soul liberty. I come to God. Does that make sense? God doesn't drag me kicking and screaming. I come to God. And the way I come to God is through faith. All right, so let's go into our notes here and look at some, number one, some spiritual basis for individual soul liberty. Now, individual soul liberty has been a reality since the first souls that were ever created, Adam and Eve. So we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 2 for this. Genesis chapter 2, and I'll be honest with you, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning. Genesis chapter 2, and look at verse number 16 and 17. Very familiar verses to us this morning. Genesis 2, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Aren't you glad God lays out his expectations of us in Scripture? Aren't you glad of that? He tells us exactly what he desires, exactly what he expects of us, and we can choose to obey him, right? Praise the Lord for that. We can. And so he commanded them, but if you think about it, when he commanded them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve were then left alone in the garden where the tree was. It's just, there they are, okay? So there you are. And when I had children, we first started having children, we had these people come around, and of course they're saying, you need to childproof your house, right? And they gave us all, they're telling us all these things about the things you put in the outlets, you know. And I understand you want to keep your kids safe. And, you know, the little things behind the cabinets, you know, that they clip in, the adults only, you know. They have, like, the special finger. They can reach in there and push it down and open the cabinet door, you know. And all these different gadgets and these things. And I remember when I was a kid growing up, you know, we could take a tumble down the stairs if we wanted to, you know. It's up to us. And Dad said, "Don't you dare touch that stove." And then he'd lead me to it, you know. And I remember I touched the stove one time, and I got my finger burned. Every kid needs to learn. So we kid-proofed our house, or house-proofed the kids, not the other way around. God left the Adam and Eve alone in the garden for periods of time. And there's the tree. They had to choose, right? There's a soul liberty. In chapter 3, verse number 6, the Bible says, "And the woman, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." That there is liberty. God allowed them to fall flat on their face. Okay, let's go on to the next thing. All throughout the Bible, we see the same truth being in every age. Your blank there is every age. And I put in many passages of scripture here. Go ahead and turn to Joshua 24. We'll read that one together. As you're turning, though, into Joshua 24, I want to read Exodus 32, verse 26 to you. Exodus 32, verse 26 is, as Moses is up on the mount and he's receiving the Ten Commandments, God is writing them with his own finger on stone tablets. And as he is up there, the Bible says that the people down at the base of the camp and at the base of the mountain up and made themselves a golden calf and said, "These be the gods that brought us out of the land of Egypt." And the Bible says Moses came down from the mountain. He took those stone tablets, which were a covenant, I believe, between the children of Israel and God, and he broke them. He shattered them on the mountain because it had already been broken. They've already broken it. We haven't even started, and we've already messed up. And he stands up in verse number 26. "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.'" Amen? Aren't you glad God gives us a choice? He gives us liberty to choose him. You're in Joshua 24, verse number 15. The Bible says here, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," the phrase "if it seem evil" comes from one Hebrew word, and that Hebrew word means to be displeased. All right, so we could say here in verse 15, if it displeases you to serve the Lord, you can serve other gods. That's fine. It's your prerogative, right? He says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There is individual soul liberty. Amen? You can choose what you'd like. This is what I'm choosing. First Kings 18 and verse number 21, a very familiar verse. Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, and if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. There's a free choice there, is there not? You can serve God, you can serve Baal. It's up to you. It's up to each one of us. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 29, "For they hated knowledge, but did not choose the fear of the Lord." Proverbs 33, verse 31, "Envy not thou the oppressor, choose none of his ways." We have a choice, do we not? I want you to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 this morning. And while you're turning, I'm going to read Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein." We can choose God's way, amen? That is a choice set before us. John chapter 6 and verse number 66 and 67. as Jesus preached his message of repentance for the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of God is at hand. The Bible says in verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, I don't read in verse 67 that Jesus went out and with a whip drove them back to where he wanted them. They're free to go. That's free. I mean, they have an individual soul liberty. But look at verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12. So presumably, everyone left, and Jesus is standing there with 12 men around him. Will you also go away? There's individual soul liberty. Now, we can prove this point in Scripture by doing a study on the word whosoever. Whosoever, and that's your next blank in your notes there. Whosoever, this word study will teach us individual soul liberty. The word is used some 183 times in the Bible. Isn't that something? A careful study of this word will reveal that while God freely offers his mercy and grace to all men, he does not stand in the way of those who choose to reject him. Exodus 32 and verse number 33. We already read verse 26, but the Bible says, the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. All right? Deuteronomy 18 and verse number 18 says, let's turn there. Let's look at that one. Deuteronomy. I think that's a good one for us to look at. Deuteronomy 18. And verse 18 and 19. He says, I will raise them up a prophet. And the word prophet in my Bible is capitalized. This is talking about Jesus Christ. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Verse 19, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And so the Bible says, whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which Jesus speaks, I'm going to require it. And so we have free will. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 29 says, so he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Proverbs 20 and verse number 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Ezekiel 33 and verse number 4 says, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Amen? And the sword there is talking about the judgment of God. Let's turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 35. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 35. The Bible says, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. And Jesus here is talking, we should really read verse 34. Verse 31. And there came then his brethren and his mother standing without and sent unto him calling. And the multitude sat about him. And they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother? Who is my brother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them that sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brother. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. And so Jesus is saying, who is my family? It's those who believe on the Son. Amen? And it's whosoever. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Chapter 8, verse 34. The Bible says, and when he had called, the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We have the free will to choose to follow Jesus Christ. It means denying ourselves. It means identifying with Jesus Christ, taking up his cross, and then following Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Aren't you glad for that word, whosoever, in the Bible? It means you. It means me. Acts chapter 2, verse 21, And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Romans chapter 10 and verse number 11, the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. James chapter 2, verse number 10, For whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point is guilty of all. 1 John chapter 3, in fact, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3 and look at that. This passage, there are several verses in this passage that use this word, whosoever. 1 John 3 and verse number 4, speaking of the resurrection, one day we're going to see Jesus, amen, verse number 2, and we're going to be like him because we'll see him as he is. And that alone, verse 3, should give us the hope. That hope there, what does it do in our lives? It purifies us, even as he is pure. Isn't that something? That's what the resurrection should do. We'll look more about that later on. But verse 4, it says, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And so whosoever can commit sin, they can do that, right? Verse number 6, Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Verse number 9, Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And verse number 10, In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. This idea of the word whosoever means I have a choice. I have a choice between God and sin. I have a choice between righteousness and my own way. Amen? There is a choice. Now, Revelation 20 and verse number 15 says, Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then the Bible ends with this word, whosoever. Revelation 22, verse 17, And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. From the very beginning to the very end, this word whosoever is just permeates the scripture. Individual soul liberty. All right, so let's move on to number 2, responsibility. Now, we think of liberty. When we think of the word liberty, we think of freedom, right? And we think we can do what we want. But in reality, liberty brings with it responsibility, does it not? I have to choose. It is important. I remember when I was a kid, I had a friend named Sam Wilt, and I would go over to his house every now and again. He'd come over to my house. We camped. We liked to camp, you know, put the tent up in the backyard and that type of thing. And whenever I'd go to his house, his mom would let us walk about a mile down the road and in Stralsburg, Virginia there, and they had this restaurant, little hole-in-the-wall place called High Neighbor, like High Neighbor, was the name of the restaurant. We'd walk in there, and they had a plaque on the front of the door there, and I can't remember exactly what it said, but it said something to this nature. So, talking to kids, so you want to be on your own. You can pay the mortgage, and it had all these list of bills, the light bill, the gas bill, the heating bill, the gas in the car, the insurance, and it totaled it all up and gave a big old sum at the end of it. And I remember we'd stand there and look at that sign and go, I don't want to be on my own. I think I'll just stay home, you know. But when you get out and you think, yeah, I liberty, I'm free. Well, there's a whole lot of responsibility that comes with that liberty, is there not? And so here's responsibility. I think it's more important to note, and here's a blank in your notes, that failure to choose God and his righteousness is by default a choice to reject him. All right? Failure to choose God and his righteousness is by default a choice to reject him. The sin, the nature of sin is inherent or built into each individual. Therefore, this liberty becomes a responsibility to choose what is right. And I wrote out John chapter 3, verse 18 in our notes here. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned. And what's that next word? Already, right? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so individual soul liberty comes with a responsibility. I need to make a choice here. The status quo is no good. And the Bible is very, very clear on that. So there's a responsibility. Number three in our notes, there are limitations to this soul liberty. And here's kind of where the rubber meets the road. Now, individual soul liberty is not a justification for disobeying the word of God. All right? It is not a justification for disobeying the word of God. Just because you can choose to do evil does not mean that God ordains it. All right? Now, while it is the individual's privilege to choose whether or not to obey God's will or word, disobedience always carries its consequences. Let's turn to a few of these passages. Proverbs 8. If we'll turn there for a moment. Proverbs 8 and verse number 36. Proverbs 8 and verse number 36. The Bible says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. I like the Proverbs, don't you? Just practical, are they not? All they that hate me love death. God says, listen, and wisdom here in chapter 8 is speaking, and this is the word of God. This is God himself speaking. He says, you sin against me, you don't hurt me any. I mean, that's, you can do what you want. You're hurting yourself, right? The kid who's running out, little boy's running out to the road, and there's moving traffic, and his dad says, stop, and the boy gets a little perturbed. Dad's always telling me to stop. Well, he's going to hurt himself, you see. It's going to hurt. And his dad is telling them this to stop him from doing something that would hurt him. And so God gives us commands in his word for our own benefit. Amen? And we have the responsibility then to choose that, or else it's going to hurt. Ezekiel 18, let's turn over there. Ezekiel 18, in verse number 4. Ezekiel 18, verse number 4. I love this chapter. This is there's a parable that the children of Israel were want to use. And let's see here. What's the parable? Verse number 2 says, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? And what that proverb was being translated as and used in people's lives is, well, my father, I was brought up that way. You know, that's how I was brought up. And so that's how I am because I was brought up that way. And of course, we have that same deal going on today, do we not? I talk to people all the time. Why'd you do that? Well, I was brought up that way. Well, I mean, it's still going to kill you. That's all there is to it. And so you have a choice not to go the way your father did. Amen? Aren't you glad we have that choice? Look at verse 4. It says, behold, all souls are mine, God says. As the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen? And so we have a responsibility here to choose God's way. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Let's turn there. All these are very good verses to know and learn. We're going to have to take a rest afterwards. All the fingers turn, you know. It's good. Galatians 6 and verse number 6, verse number 7, says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap correction. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap a life everlasting." Amen? So that verse tells me, among other things, but it tells me that I have a choice. I can sow to the flesh, I can sow to the Spirit. And I'll return, I'll get the consequences of what I choose. Amen? Individual soul liberty. One more, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 15, the Bible says this, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." So some people evidently in Peter's day, and I think still today, would use their liberty, use that word liberty, and they use it for a cloak or a disguise for maliciousness, right? To just go out doing what they want. You know, I can choose what I want, so I think I'll go to the bar and have a drink. You know, that's not what God is saying here. Liberty means there's a responsibility. All right, so individual soul liberty, next in our notes there, does not mean that a believer can do whatever he wants without regard to others. All right, so I'll read that again. Individual soul liberty does not mean that a believer can do whatever he wants without regard for others. So the blank is word regard. All right, for this, let's turn over to Galatians. In fact, I think I have that one written out for you, don't I? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So, if you have a liberty to choose whatever you would like and whatever you'd like to do, don't think of yourself in this, think of others. If I choose to do this right now, don't think of it, you know, is it going to hurt me? Think of it, is it going to hurt my children? Right? Is it going to hurt that church member? Is it going to make a difference? Is it going to put a stumbling block before this person in my life? And so we're to be thinking of others. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14 this morning. Romans chapter 14 in verse number 4. And Paul deals with this very thing. Let's see here. Read verse 4 with me. The Bible says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." All right, so in this verse, I see it is not for men to judge one another, because each individual stands or falls to his own master, which is God. Amen? You stand before God just like I stand before God. And so I'm not to stand there and judge your motives for doing whatever you're doing. That's between you and God. That makes sense? Look at verse 5. The Bible says, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Yet let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Now, in matters of faith and practice, especially those to which the Scripture leaves room for interpretation, which there are a lot of matters, are there not? Music would be one of them. What music should we listen to? Does God say, "Thou shalt not listen to Metallica"? Is that what it says? It doesn't say that. Does the Bible say, "Thou shalt listen to bluegrass"? I think that's in there somewhere. Amen. But it's not. You know, it's up to your discretion. What is right music? What is God pleasing music? What is not? We have many principles in the Bible that will dictate our decision. But as to specific types, that's up to you. That makes sense? That's up to individual soul liberty. And there are many. Here he's using the example of days. You know, perhaps there's a day that, you know, someone says, "Well, we ought to observe this day. We ought to observe that day. And this one was in the Bible, so we ought to observe that day." Other guys say, "You know, every day is the same. Let's just serve God every day." Amen? And so I think there's merit to both. So it's up to you to choose. But the Bible says in verse number 5, here's the caveat, we must be fully persuaded. Full persuasion must be reached for each individual in his own mind. If you're going to go down one road with this decision in your mind, you better know why you made that decision. You'll be completely persuaded. You say, well, it's fine for me to smoke. The Bible does not say thou shalt not smoke. All right? It's up to you. That is up to you. You can make that decision if you'd like, but you better be fully persuaded as to why. And that which is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. Amen? All right, so let's look at verse number 6 and 6 through 8. He that regardeth one day regardeth it not unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, and giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And so in these verses, I see each believer's faith and practice is unto the Lord. It's between you and God. That makes sense? It's totally between you and God. You can choose what you would like between God. Now, verse 9, and I have to move quickly because we're almost out of time. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. In this verse I see this freedom, this liberty, and we could also, I think, put this responsibility, the word responsibility in there, to choose one's own path for faith and practice, was bought and paid for by the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus purchased that right for you to choose. He paid for it with his own blood. In verse number 10 and 11, why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. It is not for men to judge one another. For each individual will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the only worthy judge, and every one of us shall give an account for himself to God. Amen? So you're going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God. You're not going to answer to me. I'm not going to answer to you. We're all going to answer to God. That is the essence of soul liberty. Now, verse 13 says this, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. So we've understood that. We're not going to judge one another. Here's one thing we are going to judge. Judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You see that? So we've said all this to say one thing here this morning. Your individual soul liberty does not mean that you can do whatever you want without regard to others. All right? All right, next thing here, and I have to move quickly. Last one. Individual soul liberty does not make each Christian a law unto themselves. Individual soul liberty does not make each Christian a law unto themselves. So your blank there is the word law. God told believers to exhort and encourage one another. Amen? So you say, well, if I have soul liberty, you have soul liberty, you can do what you want, I can do what I want, and just leave me alone. You're not a law unto yourself because God's given us responsibility in this whole thing. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. So my job in this whole individual soul liberty thing is to choose what I think, not judge anybody, but provoke one another to love and to good works. Amen? And so that's to come alongside someone and say, listen, I think the path you're choosing isn't right. And here's the reasons I think it. Now, you can choose what you'd like. I understand that. But don't you think it'd be better if you'd lived it this way? And kindness, you understand, and love and to good works. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so we're not alone to ourselves here. God has placed us in a church. Amen? This is Baptist church doctrine, right? So we come together and we understand that each one of us has the right to choose. We all stand before God individually. But God has put us together in one body. Amen? And so we're to help each other. And this, we have this responsibility to help one another. And so I think there are some limitations to this. We're not a law unto ourselves. I hope we've covered everything, and I hope there's no more questions. Any questions this morning about individual soul liberty? To me, this is the broadest topic of the whole thing, and it's big. So praise the Lord, we got it covered. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your graciousness to us. Thank you for giving us the ability, the privilege, and responsibility of choosing whether we serve you or we reject you. Lord,